Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Welcome to the latest edition of Circling the Bases. I'm DJ Short, and with me here once again is Scott Pianowski from Yahoo. We are live on Twitch this afternoon, so thanks for hanging out with us there. And if you're listening in podcast form or watching later on YouTube, we're recording Wednesday afternoon, just about 24 hours away from the start of the 2023 MLB season. How's it going, Scott?
Yeah, I'm in a great mood, man. As you said, we're getting really close. And the opening day is the way it should be. You know, there's been years where there's been like the standalone opener or just like a handful of teams open. No. None of that. 15 games, 30 teams. It's wall-to-wall baseball from the moment the day starts till the end of the night. So that's what it should be, man. Everybody should play an opening day. No more of this like, oh, half the teams play or one stand. No. Nobody wants that. Everybody wants to see. We're drafting all these guys, right? We want to go see him play tomorrow, and we're going to see him play tomorrow. And you know, if you don't have time to watch the season, if you're busy for the next 6 months, no worries, because we're going to give you all the headlines, you know, all the seasonal winners and awards and all that. It's all going to be revealed today.
Yes. I mean, everyone wants to see Patrick Corbin pitch tomorrow. Everyone wants to see Corey Kluber pitch tomorrow. Yeah, the hitters definitely do. But you're right. I mean, Friday's going to be a bit of a bummer. It's a little bit of a light schedule. It's like a big tease. You get all the games on opening day, and then a bunch of teams are off on Friday. But soon we'll get into that daily routine where pretty much every team's playing every day. It's a nice routine to settle into. It's also a very long season. So I feel like the first day, maybe, I'm going to be all into it and stuff like that. But I feel like you got to pace yourself a little bit. Sure. You're going to be overloaded. So.
And you said the word routine, which is a big part of fantasy, right? No, and this is something I get wrong in one of my leagues every year. Know when that first free agent window is open. Like one of my leagues is generally a Sunday bidding league, but we're bidding tonight. I think Tout Wars as bidding tonight.
Yep.
Put this stuff in your calendar. You're busy, right? And maybe you're in college, maybe you have a family, maybe you have kids, you get soccer practice, you know, you're getting the car fixed. You need to have this stuff in your calendar, and you need to get into a routine, because so much of being a successful fantasy manager is just doing your diligence, dotting your I's, crossing your T's, getting those bids in. So get into a schedule, get into a cadence, get into a routine, and get your calendar filled, because your life's dynamic, man. You get a lot going on in your life. Where hopefully the goal of this show and the goal of Roto World, right, is not only help you win, but it's to save you time because you got stuff going on. But the best fantasy managers are the best anything, right? Who are the best football coaches or whatever, the best chess players? Attention to detail, okay? So I want you to sometime today check all your fab schedules and put that stuff in your calendar, because you're going to forget because you're picking up your kid at soccer practice. And I want to save you time, and I want to see you in contention this season. That is our goal.
Yeah, you know, even me, sometimes I'll forget. Like, there's one league where I have a Sunday, like, midnight waiver period, and it's a dynasty league, so it's not necessarily the end of the world, but last season I would forget. Like, every other Sunday, I'd be like, I wake up Monday morning, I see this whole flood of transactions, and I'm not in the mix there.
Guys you wanted, yeah.
Yeah, so, definitely helpful. I should make a calendar. Somehow I don't.
Let me say one other thing about this. Okay. Now, so Sunday is my big fab day because my hometown league's at 6, 8 o'clock is Tout Wars, 10 o'clock is TGFBI, and midnight is labor. One of the best cheat codes, what you do is, okay, so I do my first bidding at my home league, 6 o'clock comes, I see who's bid on, and I notice the guys I missed. And then maybe I pick up those guys at Tout Wars. Maybe there's a guy at Tout Wars. Oh, Jeff Zimmerman was on, a guy I wasn't on or something. You cheat, right? Learn something, or maybe it gives you an idea how the market feels. Obviously, every league is different. Yeah. Just because one player was expensive in Fab in one league doesn't mean he's going to be expensive in Fab in another league. But take that information, because it's really complicated, and some sites are easier to sort through than others. I think Yahoo is really good about that. Some sites aren't as easy to find the hidden treasure. So if your leagues are probably divvying up the free agents at different times. First come, first serve is the rule in Yahoo Friends and Family. We're drafting actually in the season this year because schedules were so tight. But, if DJ picked up somebody I missed out on in Friends and Family, that's just a tip for me to pick him up in my other leagues.
Yeah, totally. Good call. So with today's episode, we're going to take a little bit of a break from the fantasy game. This is our 2023 MLB season preview episode. Division winners, World Series picks, individual awards. Should be a lot of fun. But before we get to that, just one last reminder. New MLB season, new rules, new stars. So pair it with the Roto-World Baseball Draft Guide. Get all the player profiles, rankings, and projections you need to hit your draft out of the park. Go to nbcsportsedge.com/draftguide and use Pennant25 to save 25% off at checkout. Again, that promo code, as you see there, Pennant25. All right, so let's get into our division picks. We're going to start with the American League, and I'll let you go off and running here, Scott.
Yeah, I guess we're doing an east to west, I assume. And I'm going to start with the Toronto Blue Jays. I think plus 200 is the current price. I just love the shape of this roster, where so many players are on the front nines of their careers. They haven't had their best seasons yet. I'm speaking about Vladimir Guerrero. I'm speaking about Bo Bichette. I think the depth of the pitching staff is really interesting. And it feels like if just a couple of guys hit the high end of their ranges here, this could be a 95-100 win team. Obviously, it's a loaded division because the Yankees are very good. Tampa Bay, we know there's a special sauce with the Rays. And actually, I have the Rays picked for something else, which may not make sense because I didn't pick them to win the division, but just put a bookmark there. Baltimore's a team on the come. And even if the Red Sox aren't a great team, I mean, how far can they fall down? I mean, they still have some good players. They'll still probably be a 75-win team or so. But I think the highest ceiling of all the teams here is Toronto. I think they have everything. I think they have a really deep lineup, and I think they have a very good pitching staff. I like their bullpen. I'm excited to see how the new dimensions play. Plus 200 may not be the greatest price in the world, but I think they're the best team in the AL East, and they're my pick to take that division.
So I'm Yankees here, which is, I guess, is the chalk position. I don't feel as great about it going into the season as maybe I thought I would. Carlos Rodon, on his way back, it doesn't seem like he's going to miss a ton of time, but he has an injury history. It's always something to keep in mind. Luis Severino is on the injured list to start the season as well with the lat injury. I don't think it's going to be super long, but, two key pieces for that pitching staff, which I thought was really good coming into spring training. Now there's questions. We'll see if Clark Schmidt emerges and can be a difference maker in that rotation. He's had a great spring. What dynamic does Volpe add to this team? A lot of veterans on this roster, which I think is mostly a good thing, but I think getting an infusion of youth, I think will really help this team. And there's just so much talent on the Yankees from top to bottom. I'm going to go chalk with the Yankees. Not a great price there either, plus 130, but Yankees for me.
With those two starting pitchers being hurt, I actually think it's interesting. I don't have a price on this in front of me, but I wonder if the Yankees maybe could miss the playoffs, and that's one of the predictions I've made. Mm. Disclaimer, I'm a Red Sox fan, and when the Red Sox aren't going to contend, and I don't think they're going to contend, most Red Sox fans will tell you that season is defined by hopefully the Yankees don't win the World Series. So thankfully, that hasn't been a big problem in the last 20 years. I think they've only won that one championship, but I'm just concerned with two-thirds of their – ostensibly their playoff rotation already hurt. That just makes me nervous. Carlos Rodon, of course, remember the shape of his career, right? I mean, the White Sox non-tendered him. Shocking. You would think they would know that what his health status was. He goes to San Francisco. He rebuilds his brand. He gets the big deal with the Yankees. I'm a little bit concerned about that. Bounce over to the Central. It's a three-horse race, right? Because the Royals are, they're a few years away. Detroit, I don't know what they're doing, but it's not going to happen this year. So do you like the Guardians? Do you like the White Sox? Do you like the Twins? And I'm going to go with the White Sox. This is one of the few disagreements we had last week. We had Vaughn on. It was great. We did our over-under show on Wednesday. Go back and listen to that if you're looking to make some over-under plays. We had a lot of agreement on that show. One of the few things we disagreed on was the White Sox. Vaughn was fading them. I like them. A lot of players hit the low end of their ranges last year. I mean, Lucas Giolito got COVID in May. His season was derailed after that. Robert was hurt. Eloy was hurt. Tim Anderson was hurt. I dare all these guys to get hurt again. And so many of these players, again, in their 20s or in their maybe late 20s, Giolito came to camp best shape of his life. I think Lance Lynn, who is in his 30s, will have a bounce back season. And maybe Tony La Russa was just the wrong manager at the wrong time. I just think getting the right voice in there, right? Look what's done for the Boston Bruins. They changed coaches, and now they're having one of the best seasons in NHL history. Sometimes just getting a different person at the front of that ship.
Showalter.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Totally, man. I hear you. I think the White Sox are a sleeping giant. I think they might win 95 games. And look, I will hear you on the Guardians and the Twins. They're good teams, too. But to me, the White Sox can be, if they just get a reasonable run out, I don't even think they need a lot of breaks. Just don't have the unbelievably unlucky season they had last year. Right now, plus 300 is the price I'm seeing. They're my pick in the AL Central.
Yeah, I've kind of wavered on this in recent days. Tristan McKenzie, as we know, is going to miss quite a bit of time with the Terra's major strain.
I need him. Shoulder
strain, essentially. So 2 months without him in that rotation, I think could be a real difference maker in how this season unfolds. I'm going to stick with the Guardians. They are the favorites currently at plus 115. I'm going by FanDuel odds here, but you know, shop around and see, you know, see what works best for you. I think the Twins are quietly had a good offseason as well. I like what they've done. So I think they're right in this mix too. I wouldn't be shocked if the White Sox reached like their 95th percentile outcome, you know, like that's, they have that kind of talent that they can do that. Certainly. But, you know, I do wonder, another concern about the Guardians is they really beat up on the AL Central last year. So how does this balanced schedule impact them? But I think in some other ways, uptick in stolen bases expected, the shift band, they're a very good defensive team. They can take advantage of speed on the base paths. Maybe some of these rule changes work in their favor too. So I think they're well positioned to do that. I'm going to stick with the Guardians as the safe play. I think they'll be right there. But, you know, if McKenzie doesn't come back after 2 months, if something goes wrong here with Bieber as well, it could be a rough summer for the Guardians.
Yeah, McKenzie's injury was one of the reasons I moved off them. But as you said, they do a lot of little things well. They're almost like the Central's version of the Rays, where there's a special sauce there. Terry Francona is the right man skippering that ship. I just want to mention for the Twins, I did a radio spot yesterday where we talked about the Twins, and it's like it really comes down to like two guys. It's like, how many games are you getting from Carlos Correa, and how many games really are you getting from Byron Buxton? If you could get me to 145 for Correa and even like 130 from Buxton, I might punch the Twins right now. It's just, it's hard to know what you're getting. Byron Buxton's upside is MVP. Byron Buxton's downside is he ruined my fantasy season. I mean, he's just all over the map. The guy could hit 40 home runs. The guy could win a gold glove. I don't know that he's going to run anymore, but certainly a 30-30 or 40-40 season in a healthy year is something at one point he was capable of doing. Now, if I were the Twins, I'd tell him not to run because we just need him healthy. But they have two guys. I mean, the Correa offseason was crazy, right? He's a Giant. No, he's a Met. No, he's back to the Twins. You would think it was kind of like the Rodon situation I mentioned. You would think the Twins would know Correa's medicals better than anybody. So I think it's interesting he landed there. But two key guys that we have to keep an eye on. And sticking with that injury motif, we'll shift over to the West. The Astros, the big, you know, the defending champs, the big bad team in the block. But McCullers is hurt, and Alvarez is hurt, and Kyle Tucker might be a little bit dinged up. And I'm just feeling the Seattle Mariners thing. They have, I don't know that they have a true number one ace like you think, like Cy Young Award, but they have four number twos. They have four guys who legitimately belong in a playoff rotation. Julio Rodriguez, one of the most exciting young players. I think Teoscar Hernandez was an interesting add. I think Eugenio Suarez is misunderstood. He's going to hit 30 home runs, so what if he hits 235? Colton Wong, I thought, was a good add. Still a plus defender. If it's a year, Houston is a better team if everything, if every team hits like their median range, but Houston's already got things going wrong, man. I think Seattle can steal this division. The price I'm seeing right now is plus 360. I think Seattle's going to be a playoff team anyway, but let's just go for it. I'm picking. I guess I'm going against the grain a little bit because I haven't picked any of the favorites, and it's hard. Baseball has so much striation between the top and the bottom; it can be really hard not to pick favorites. But I'm not picking any favorites in the AL East. I'm going with a lot of second choices in the AL West. I only see two real contenders. Maybe you can talk me into the Angels, but I'm going to punch Seattle plus 360.
I was very tempted to do the same. Believe me, because if you remember last week in the over-under episode, I said over on Mariners wins. I still believe that to be the case. I just think the Astros are, they're just still the better team, and they're the champs too. Granted, they lost Justin Verlander, but I still think there's a solid rotation here, even with McCullers being hurt. Framber Valdez, really the I guess he's the number one right now, but I think Christian Javier is capable of taking a step forward this year. I've seen a number of people tout him to be like a dark horse Cy Young Award candidate. And Hunter Brown is on his way too. We'll see what he can be. Granted, losing Jose Altuve for a couple of months is a blow, but I still think this is the best team in the American League West. I still would maybe sprinkle on the Mariners. Just, you never know. And that number is pretty solid. I think you said plus 360. I think worth speculating on that.
Okay. So where are we going now? We're going National League? Are we picking the pennant winner?
Let's do National League divisions first, and then we'll get to our World Series matchups.
Yeah. Eating a little bit of chalk on this side. I think the Braves have the best team in baseball. I certainly think they have the best lineup. Now, to win this division, they're going to need their pitching to hit the high end of their range again. Spencer Strider, we know, is a two-pitch pitcher, but, man, he is sure dominant.
Yeah.
I see MVP candidates all over this team, too. I see three guys you could conceive bet on. We'll get in that in a minute. And I like that a lot of their key guys, they haven't had their best season yet. We haven't seen the best Acuna season yet. I don't think we've seen the best Austin Riley season yet. I think Matt Olson, second year in the National League, he was a monster in spring training, maybe against Triple A pitching, but whatever. He was Godzilla tearing everything, and he'll be in a better hitter with the shift now, the regulations coming in. I just think Atlanta, look, I know your Mets are going to be in the hunt, and it's not like Philadelphia doesn't have a chance, although a lot of things have already gone wrong with that team, but I think Atlanta's just a little bit deeper. I have to side with the Braves. You're not getting a great price on this, plus 100. Maybe if you're a Braves guy, you think about betting them different ways. Maybe they're over-under total. Maybe you pick them to win the World Series. But they are my pick to win the National League East.
I'm with you. I think the Braves are the strongest team. I think the Mets losing Edwin Diaz, that it's just a little separator. I don't think it's not going to be like a five-win swing or anything like that. But in a division that should be hotly contested, it's enough for me to say the Braves. It's interesting because the Braves really didn't do much this offseason. They just did. In fact, they lost Dansby Swanson and Orlando Arcia's going to play shortstop on opening day. I guess they can afford to do that because that lineup is so deep. Sean Murphy, we shouldn't underscore that addition. Sean Murphy is a big addition. And especially in a year where there's going to be more stolen bases, pop time, his arm, like that's going to be key. I think the Braves were smart to pick him up, but they didn't do a whole heck of a lot to improve this team. And I think a big reason for that is they expect Ozzy Albies to bounce back. They expect Ronald Acuna Jr. to be more like himself. And I can understand betting on that. So I have to go Braves too. I think they have a lot of MVP candidates as well. We'll get into that in a little bit. I'm sure the Mets I'm confident the Mets will be a 90-plus win team. Phillies could be right there as well. But I think the Braves, I agree, is the strongest team here.
So sticking with the chalk theme, I'm not sure I would bet this, but if you want my NL Central winner, I got to go with the Cardinals. I believe in this organization. They may have the best defensive team in the National League. It was two years ago. They had five gold glovers. You hit the ball Nolan Arenado, it's an out. You hit the ball Tommy Edman, it's an out. Now, it'll be interesting. They don't have Yadier Molina. As much as we love Wilson Contreras' bat, I'm curious, and Joe Sheehan was talking about this in his newsletter recently. I mean, the Cardinals pitchers have had such a great life because Yadi blocked everything and nobody could run on Yadi. So we'll see. Contreras is really a hit first catcher, but man, this lineup is so deep. I mean, last year, Tommy Edman was their leadoff man. He'll probably bat seventh, eighth, or ninth this year. I think Brendan Donovan is an interesting breakout candidate. I just, if Walker hits the ground running, he's a rookie of the year candidate. But even if he has a slow start, and I know he hasn't hit the last week of spring training, they could send him down for more seasoning. It's such a deep team. The top couple of hitters who don't play every day would be starters for almost any other team. I'm a Milwaukee fan. I think they're certainly going to be there. And if they get in the playoffs, they're very dangerous because they have two legitimate number ones. But the Cardinals have such a deep roster. Again, I don't know how you make a lot of money on this at minus 130. That's not generally how I bet these things, but the St. Louis Cardinals are a team I certainly believe in.
Yeah, I think the big question with the Cardinals is the starting rotation. Adam Wainwright's going to begin the season on the injured list. Could be a little while before he returns. So you're looking at Miles Michaelis, Jordan Montgomery, Jack Flaherty, who comes with his own series of question marks, Steven Matz, Jake Woodford. That doesn't sound like a World Series contender to me. The lineup is very good, like you were saying. Lars Nootbaar, I think, is an exciting breakout potential type of player. Could hit second in this lineup. We'll see how it all shakes out. But yeah, the lineup's very deep. I'm not impressed with what the Brewers have done to bolster their lineup. They have some interesting prospects who are on the way. We talked a little bit about that in recent weeks. Sal Frelick, Joey Weimer, like they're going to be here sooner or later. Maybe they can make a difference here with this lineup. But I think all around, you know, you have to play a chalk with the Cardinals.
And one more piece of chalk. Again, I went off the chalk path in the American League. I'm not really doing it in the National League. I feel like in the National League West, it's you get to pick the Dodgers or the Padres. It just so many things have not fallen the Dodgers' way. They obviously didn't keep Trey Turner. They lost Gavin Lux very early in the season. Walker Buehler won't be a factor this year. We'll see how many innings. I do like Clayton Kershaw as a fantasy play this year, but it's like 135, 140 innings of Kershaw. Nobody's thinking 180 anymore. So I got to side with San Diego. They just keep adding pieces, and so many of them, again, they're on the front nine of their careers. They haven't had their best seasons yet. Juan Soto just had the worst year he's going to have in his 20s. I got to figure he bounces back. Even though Xander Bogaerts is not somebody I want for fantasy, maybe that first season in San Diego, the fact that he's just another guy in this lineup shows you how deep they are. Tatis will eventually come back. He's a monster. They have frontline pitchers. It's really lucky that the Musgrove injury isn't that serious. He should be back in April. I hope they get the better version of Josh Hader. He had kind of an up-and-down season. There's a while where he couldn't do anything right, but he did finish the year well. I think both teams will make the playoffs in my mind, but I think this is the year San Diego, and they finished well behind the Dodgers last year. And again, it's not a great bet at plus 120, but if you're tapping me on the shoulder, you need me to pick the NL West, I have to side with the Padres.
I agree with you. And it doesn't seem like the books really agree. Like the Dodgers are just automatically right near the top. I mean, I guess that the reputation precedes them. I mean, we're so used to just plugging in them in there first place, but I think this is the strongest Padres team we've seen until this point. They, like you said, just keep adding pieces. The rotation's very steady. Yu Darvish leading the way there. Joe Musgrove, maybe, I think he'll start his first turn through the rotation, perhaps. And Blake Snell really came on during the second half last year. I think just from top to bottom, it's a really good team. The Dodgers is, the roster-wise, I think it's the weakest one they've had in probably a decade. We've talked about that a bit. Not to say that it's bad, but it's just not up to par with what we've seen in the past. Bullpen has some question marks as well. I think they're both really good teams, but Padres are the play for me as well.
So I guess we got to get a couple teams in the World Series. I mentioned the Braves, how it may not be the greatest bet to get bet them to win the division, but I'm going to take them to go to win the National League plus 380 and actually win the World Series at plus 750. This always feels a little bit funky. Maybe I'm being a little bit too cute. My American League representative is not going to be a team I pick to win the division. I'm going to pick the Rays. I just love Shane McClanahan, who I'll tease is my AL Cy Young Award winner. I love him at the front of a rotation, and they have some – they're a team that just does a lot of things right that aren't always quantifiable. And I guess this lineup may be a little bit – may stretch a little bit deeper than it has in recent years. So if you want to pick any other team, yeah, any of the major contenders in the American League, you want to pick Houston, you want to pick the Yankees. I mentioned Toronto winning the AL East. I'd be fine with all that. And wouldn't it be fun if the White Sox hit the high end of their range? But – I feel like the Rays are kind of due. Maybe that's not the right way to bet these things, but they've been in contention so many years. They've been in the ALCS. They've only gone to, one or two World Series. It feels like that's a little bit of a light bag, but I'm just really excited to see Shane McClanahan pitching maybe three times in a seven-game series. And Tampa Bay is such a smartly run organization. I think it's their time. Give me Atlanta over Tampa Bay in the World Series.
I'm also taking the Braves at plus 380. I think all around they're just the best team in the National League. The Padres are probably second for me as far as that goes. But yeah, I think the Braves have all the pieces to succeed. Assuming that Acuña and Albies can stay healthy, they're key pieces there. I think they have a potentially very deep rotation when, you know, Kyle Wright comes back. Maybe we see something out of Mike Soroka. So I think Vaughn Grissom emerges at some point during the season. They give him a little more time to work on his defense in the minors. This has a chance to be a very, very strong team. Raisel Iglesias is going to start the year on the injured list, but eventually he'll be back as well. I'm going to take the Yankees to win the American League. And I think maybe it could be a little bit of a rough start for them, like we mentioned, with missing some two key pieces from their rotation. But I think when it's all said and done, let's say even they don't win first place in the American League East, I think when we get to October, you know, my bet is saying that they will have those two pieces back. Maybe they make some in-season additions as well to improve around the margins. I just think they're the most talented team in the American League. So give me a Braves-Yankees World Series matchup. My winner is the Yankees, actually. I'm going plus 850 for the Yankees to win the World Series. My Mets fan friends are probably tearing their hair out right now. But yeah, I think in a playoff situation, the kind of rotation that they could bring up there potentially, Cole, Rodon, you know, Cortez, Severino, lots of ways you could go there. I think could be very, very potent. So give me Yankees plus 850.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
So I have to ask you. You're obviously a Mets fan. I'm a Red Sox fan, so we're supposed to hate the Yankees. We haven't talked much Mets about the show, but we both have the Braves winning the NL East. We both have the Braves going to the World Series. What's your Mets RX this year? I did talk about them last week as an over bet, going over where they're somewhere between the 91 to 93 range. I think they're going to be in the mid-90s. What type of season are you expecting from the Mets?
I think they're going to have a very good season. I just think that, and we'll get into this with like the Cy Young talk, I just can't project Justin Verlander and Max Scherzer to throw, you know, 180 innings each. I just can't do that. I think they'll be very good when they pitch, but I think something's bound to happen. You know what I mean? And I'm just figuring that into my projection for the Mets. I think they're going to win 90 plus games. I think they're going to win a wild card spot. I think they could go far. I think they could be NLCS against the Braves, like very easily that could happen. But yeah, I think it is tough to build really your hopes, pin your hopes around two pitchers who are, you know, 40 years old. I think it'd be a lot of fun to watch, but tough.
I think they really need like a 13 to 15 win season out of a David Peterson or a Carlos, a Coco Cordero, you know, something like that. Carlos Carrasco, I should say. It was a big hit for them to get Quintana hurt early. Mm-hmm. And they're hoping that maybe he'll pitch in the second half of the year. That's far from a sure thing. Of course, the good thing if you're a pro Mets guy, you're a Mets fan, is, you know, Steve Cohen. I mean, he's not going to sit back. If this team is missing something, he's going to go and try to trade for it, try to buy it, try to rent it, whatever he can do. Money's not an object. He's not trying to make money on the Mets. He just wants to put the best team on the field. And it's exciting to have an owner like that who has the heart of a fan and doesn't care about the money. It's, you know, that's what we want all of our owners to do, is just try to do everything they can to win. So I think the Mets will be a fascinating team. As I always mentioned, they have the best TV booth in the league. So I can't wait to see what happens with them. But it is hard when your two horses, as great as Verlander's off the Cy Young season, and Max Scherzer's 30s have been fantastic, but how many starts can you really expect from those guys? You guys need some MVP picks, and both of my MVP picks are from guys I picked to win divisions. Vladimir Guerrero, first of all, the AL MVP discussion always starts with like Shohei Ohtani, because he's a unique player. He pitches, he hits, he's great at everything. He's like a 12-tool player. But the one thing that works against Ohtani, and I thought Judge was the right pick last year, as great as Ohtani was, but there's a little bit of voting fatigue. I mean, if If voters didn't have MVP fatigue, you know, Willie Mays would have like 8 MVPs, or Ted Williams would have 7, or Barry
Bonds. Trout would have like 5.
Trout would have, you know, would need an extra trophy room. And, you know, they don't want to give the same guy the MVP every year. So a lot of times, and also the Angels, if they don't contend and somebody's kind of neck and neck with Ohtani, it might be easier to say, well, this other guy was on a 95 win team. Ohtani's on a 77 win team. Now, I don't know. People have different opinions of how the MVP should be, what the definition of valuable should be. And I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. But Vladimir Guerrero, look, his father was a beloved player. He's a beloved player. And I think the team's going to be competitive. I think there's a good chance they could be a playoff team or maybe even win that AL East, as I said. And what's Vladimir Guerrero's upside? He could win a triple crown. I mean, he could certainly win a batting title. The fences have moved in. I know they've moved up a little bit too. But there's just the timing just seems right, where so many players on this offense are in their right peak ages, where their best season could come at any moment. So Vladimir Guerrero right now at plus 1,200. 1,200, 1,300. The odds are going up as we speak. Get in on Vladimir Guerrero. He is my AL MVP choice.
I'm going to go chalk with Ohtani. I think this is the best Angels roster they have had since he's been on the team. I think depth-wise, they finally got some pieces to complement him, just in case things go wrong, which they always do with the Angels for some reason. And maybe I'm buying like the Kool-Aid from the World Baseball Classic just to see Trout and Ohtani on the big stage. But there's so many ways that Ohtani can impact the game that sort of like, if he's pretty good as a pitcher and a hitter, not like otherworldly, how could you say he's not the most valuable player? You know what I mean? Just so much that he can do. So by far, he's the favorite at plus 220 right now for Judge, Trout, Julio Rodriguez, Yordan Alvarez. But I have to go with the chalk with Ohtani just because, like I was saying, if he's above average pitcher and hitter, there's just such a strong case for him.
Totally reasonable. Let me just concede up front. Like, if you said to me, pick the AL MVP winner and I'll pay your mortgage for a year if you're right, I'd pick Ohtani. You know, I'd have to. My Guerrero pick is a little bit influenced by where the odds are, but
yeah.
Ohtani, and I mentioned voter fatigue, but the flip side might be that if he is close, people might think, well, I really wanted to give it to Ohtani last year, but the season Judge had was undeniable. Yeah. So maybe if Ohtani gets into a coin flip with somebody, maybe people think, well, you know, how can we not give it to this guy this year after we didn't give it to him last year when he had an unprecedented season? You never go wrong showering Shohei Ohtani with love. I'm fascinated to see where his next team is. I don't see how the Angels can keep him, but anyway. That's
go ahead. Yeah, let's go to NL.
How about somebody in the Braves who we keep talking about? And I think you could go a lot of different ways. You want to go Austin Riley. You want to go Matt Olson, who's 25-1. I know you like him for some home run props. But I'm going to go with Ronald Acuna, who has 40. He's a guy who has said, hey, I'd like to do 40-40. That sounds pretty fun to me. It's a target for him. The lineup from 1-9 is the deepest in baseball. I'm so glad you mentioned Vaughn Grissom. Look, he's not going to start the season. The Braves look at him as a long-term stock. It's like, okay, let's get him right on defense. We don't need him on April 1st. We need him in the second half of the year. We need him in the playoffs. They're sitting on a player like that who's not even going to start the season with them. Mm-hmm. But Acuna's a monster. He just needs a little bit of health, and he's surrounded by the most lineup buoyancy you can possibly have. He's, what is he, plus 1,000. Not even a bad odds for Acuna to win National League MVP. I think he's an easy pick for me.
Yeah, this is tough because, I mean, the Braves do have a bunch of candidates here who are very reasonable. Matt Olson is – he's hit 8 home runs this spring. I hope he saves some of that for the regular season because I already bought a ticket for him to lead the majors in home runs a few weeks ago, and that price has only gone up a little bit. I'm going Austin Riley. I think there is a season in here that we haven't seen yet. I think he could hit 40 home runs. I think he could drive in 130 runs in this lineup. We've seen him hit 300 before. That was probably a little bit inflated by a number of different factors, but he hits the ball extremely hard. I think he is a potential Triple Crown candidate as well, and a better defender than many people thought he could be coming into this season. He's plus 1,600. So again, this is like a long shot thing, but whereas in the AL, I see that field of potential candidates being a lot smaller than in the National League. I think the National League is wide open. It could be any of 10 people. Like Pete Alonso has the same odds as Austin Riley on FanDuel, plus 1,600. And Alonso could be there too. He could do a very similar thing that Riley might do this season. So yeah, and the NL, I'm more inclined to like, whatever, let's take a shot, see what happens. I think Riley's that guy for me.
I like it. I'm so glad you mentioned Pete Alonso too. My goal in almost every draft is to have either Pete Alonso or Matt Olson as my first baseman, depending on where my draft slot is or how the pricing goes in my auction. So Pete Alonso, who's already won a couple of RBI titles, I think he's a good RBI bet this year. He's obviously, the Mets have a really good lineup around him. They'll have plenty of people on base. So I'm glad you mentioned Alonso. And remember with MVP too, you could win Cy Young on any team. They pretty much just go by the stats with Cy Young. With MVP, you need a narrative, right? It's going to hurt you if you're on a losing team. And so that's a big reason why we're pushing a lot of these Braves, is because we all expect them to be one of the best teams in baseball. So I think that makes a lot of sense. Whether you want to go with Olson, you want to go with Riley, you want to go with Acuna, I don't think you go around with any of those guys. I already teased my AL Cy Young Award winner, Shane McClanahan, at plus 1,400. It's also fascinating that Gerrit Cole's never won this award. Now, the player, he's active. The player is my favorite trivia questions. The all-time leading Cy Young vote getter who's never won the Cy Young, okay? Pause for a second. You can pause the podcast if you want to try to answer it. Okay, time's up. It's Adam Wainwright. But Gerrit Cole's awfully close. He's never won a Cy Young. And I wonder if Cole is in the mix. I wonder if people – it's like a lifetime achievement award. It's like, oh, you know, Gerrit Cole's going to win this at some point. But
yeah,
I'm going to go McClanahan. I like the shape of his career where he's gotten a little bit more workload. I think this will be the year maybe he gets to like 190-195 innings. And that can mean 240 strikeouts. I could see him easily winning 16, 17, 18 games. Is a deep bullpen here. They always have a plus defense. It's a good pitcher park for McClanahan. And he doesn't have any platoon split. He gets lefties and righties out just as dominantly. So a lot of ways to go here. You could take Ohtani. You could take Cole. I think Lucas Giolito is an interesting long shot. He can't possibly have the messy year he had last year. He's come to camp in really good shape. So I think Giolito is an interesting long shot. But McClanahan at plus 1,400 sounds awfully good to me.
Yeah, I like that too. I have Luis Castillo at plus 1,600 as my AL Cy Young Award favorite. Jacob DeGrom is actually the favorite at plus 550. I would not. No,
can't touch it. I hate to say this. I love Jacob DeGrom. I can't touch that.
No, thank you. But you look at what Castillo did after the trade last year, 3.17 ERA in 11 starts, had an uptick in strikeouts and walks. I don't know if that is an uptick in a positive way. Improved his walk rate. I don't know how much of that is a factor of getting outside of Cincinnati, but I think pitching a full season out there in Seattle, which is with a team that we expect to be very good, good bullpen, going to be a lot of wins there for Castillo. I think we could see him take off. He made 25 starts last year, had a 2.99 ERA, 150 innings. But if he can get back to that, you know, 190 inning mark, I think we could see him strike out 220, 230 batters potentially. With an ERA right in the high twos, and maybe a little bit better. I think the Mariners defense is very good as well. So I think this could be his year in an American League field, which I think is pretty wide open. I like Castillo to be a Cy Young Award contender. I've picked him as my number one in a couple of fantasy leagues as well. I think he's going a little bit later than he should.
Yeah, it's a team worth staying up for. I said the depth of their rotation was impressive, but Castillo will certainly be at the front of that rotation. Although any of those four guys I'd like to have on my rosters, and I have them winning the division, so I certainly think Castillo is going to be a big part of that. I did go chalk in the National League, Corbin Burns. I feel most confident. You talked about the Mets, their old pitching staff. Burns is still in his 20s. He's a tank. And a big part of winning something like a Cy Young Award is you get to get to the mound 30 plus times, right? I mean, you can't win this award with 22 starts. It's, you know, the voters are going to turn their noses down at that. So Burns is a strikeout guy. He's on the front nine of his career. He's got a body type. He's shown durability. And I don't know how long he's going to be on the Brewers. It's a little bit sad to talk about. He may not be in their long-term plans as they try to think of financial flexibility. But I think he's got a Cy Young season in him. Plus 600 isn't the greatest price in the world, but he's still going to be my pick.
Yeah, I think that's fair. When I'm trying to poke holes in the top of the market here, Sandy Alcantara, I have worries about the defense behind him. The Marlins infield defense is just not great. Verlander and Scherzer, like I said earlier, I just can't expect them to throw enough innings to, I think they're going to be great, but probably not likely to throw enough innings to win. Burns is, it's hard to argue against him. I'm going to take a shot here with Zach Gallen, though, at plus 1,100. He was awesome from basically, I think, the end of May on. He's one of the best pitchers in baseball. 2.54 ERA last season, missing more bats, improved his walk rate as well. It's the first season that he got to 184 innings, easily his career high. Can he do that again? I think is the big question. But I think this is a team that's going to have some buzz as well, which might help his case. But I think Gallen is maybe the most underrated pitcher in baseball. And maybe this season we see him jump to the forefront and recognized as one of the game's best pitchers.
This is an underrated team. I think Gurriel's been a great value all season. Jake McCarthy is a player not everybody's familiar with. You talked about Moreno being an interesting target for catchers. I think they're going to be like an 81-81 team. And you may say, well, so what? I mean, they're going to beat their over-under total. It's hard. They're in a division with the Dodgers. They're in a division with the Padres. They're not going to have the same payroll. But I think they're going to be competitive. And as you said, Gallen, he showed it last year. I mean, he was just lights out in the second half of the year. I think he's a great pick and a really good price. In fact, even though I picked Burns, if you had to pick just one of these two guys to bet on, I think Gallen actually makes more sense. They don't have the depth of the rotation, I don't think, to be a playoff contender. You know, Kelly's a solid number two, but you know, he's in his mid-30s now. The back of their rotation could be really ugly, and I'm not sure how their bullpen's going to shake out. But there's fantasy value on this team. A lot like I talk about the Reds, who's got have three really up-and-coming starters, and one of those guys is going to win a Cy Young one day. I don't know if it'll be this year, but I think the Reds have a lot of fantasy juice. To me, the Diamondbacks are one of the greatest fantasy value. If you're still drafting, you still got a draft coming up, grab a couple of Diamondbacks because nobody's going to fight you over Christian Walker and he's going to hit 30 home runs. I think Zach Gallen is a buzzy player, but I think he's headed for a great season, and I really like that price.
So let's finish it up with Rookie of the Year picks.
Yep. So Anthony Volpe has been one of the big winners. I know plus 650 maybe isn't the greatest price in the world, but the Yankees are going to start him on opening day, and I think he's got the skills to eventually percolate to the top of the lineup. He'll probably bat eighth or ninth on opening day, but DJ Mayhew, I don't know. He's past his prime. I think Volpe's eventually going to be batting first for this team, right in front of Judge. He's got skill. He's got on-base skills. He's got stolen base skills going to translate right away. He's not punchless. He'll hit for some power. It's a good hitter's park. And it doesn't hurt that if you have a fun rookie season in New York, there'll be a few more eyeballs on it. The Yankees totally will be a contending team for sure. To me, he was an easy punch. I know 650 isn't maybe the greatest price in the world, but Anthony Volpe has shot up boards, ADP boards this spring. I think it's totally justified. He's here to stay, and he's going to be a New York Yankee for the next 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised to see Masataka Yoshida with better odds than Volpe. Just with the hype in recent days, I expected Volpe to be higher than Yoshida. But somehow it was the opposite. I think Volpe might be the better value here, but there's not a big separation between Yoshida and Volpe. I'm going to go with Yoshida at plus 600. There was so many people questioning why the Red Sox spent this money on Yoshida, and maybe the doubters will be right. We'll see. But if you watched him during the World Baseball Classic, he was money. He was great. And I don't think he's just like this slap punch hitter that I feel like a lot of people were saying at the time of the signing. Like, he looks like a legitimate middle of the order bat, or if they wanted to use him in the leadoff spot, they could. But I think he's going to be a force in a lineup that really needs a bopper here. I think he's going to play a really important part of this lineup this season. Maybe the doubters will be proven right. Who knows? But for me, he passes the eye test. I will go Yoshida, not your typical rookie, but rookie eligible plus 600.
Right. You always wonder how the voters will handle that because he's obviously got all that professional experience overseas. And you're right, man. He looked the part. I can still picture one of his home runs on a really tough pitcher's pitch. And mm-hmm. He just golfed it out of the ballpark down the right field line. The Red Sox lineup is so thin that they really need him to bat leadoff. They need him to hit cleanup. I don't know what they're going to do. He may bounce around. He's got on-base skills. What I would probably do is hit him second and hit Devers fourth and you separate the two lefties. But Unfortunately, it's just a lot of dead spots in this lineup, man, and it makes me sad. But I think the Red Sox, as you said, were criticized for spending the money on Yoshida. I think it's going to be ultimately a justified price, and the stock certainly went up at the WBC. And can't wait for the next World Baseball Classic. It was so much fun. And Yoshida was one of the winners. I mean, he obviously wasn't as big of a winner as maybe Otani was at the end of it, striking out Mike Trout. But he's ready to play. And you mentioned Nootbaar also, who looks like he's ready mm-hmm. for a breakout season with the Cardinals. So much Japanese baseball talent. Can't wait to watch it play. I'm going to go a little bit sleeperish, semi-sleeperish, because everybody knows who Miguel Vargas is. But we talked about this is not the greatest Dodgers roster right now. Vargas has a job, probably going to bat in the middle of the order. I think there's some job security here too, which helps when you're picking Rookie of the Year. You ask yourself, is this guy so entrenched that if he gets off to a 4-for-37 start, he's going to still be on the team, still be in the lineup? I think Dave Roberts understands that Vargas is a long-term play here. And, okay, are the Dodgers down? Yes. Is it still a top 10 offense? For sure. It could be a top 5 offense. I think he's going to hit 20 home runs. And, again, it's not the Dodgers offense we saw a couple of years ago, but I still think it's a plus offense. And I think he's going to have good lineup real estate all year, plus $1,000's a decent price. Give me Vargas.
I think at the end of the year, we could put Vargas and Volpe's stats next to each other, and they could look very similar. I think Volpe's going to have more stolen bases, but Vargas can run too. I think he can steal 10 to 15 bags, hit 20 homers, you know, drive in 70, score 70. Like, that's going to be very useful for fantasy, but also if the Dodgers are good and he's an important part of that, I think plus 1,000 is a great price. Hayden Wesneski, who I've talked about a lot, he's plus 1,500. So if you really wanted to take a shot on a rookie pitcher, that is a really...
Please draft him. If you have a draft left, I want him on your roster. He's going to be Chicago's best pitcher. And that's saying something because they have Stroman, they have Taillon. I think Wesneski is going to be their best starter this year.
Yep. So just a reminder here real quick, download the RotoWorld app to receive breaking player news all season long. Stay ahead of the competition by favoriting players on your roster. Get the latest injury updates, player news, and much more delivered right to your phone. It's available in your app store today. So make sure to download that as opening day approaches here. Lots of news coming over the next 24 hours. I will be doing a news shift on opening day morning tomorrow. So I will be totally overwhelmed with news.
Caffeine. Send your caffeine drinks to DJ tomorrow for sure.
Yes.
By the way, speaking of which, did you see, I know you're a baseball guy, but next year for football, all the cutdowns are going to come in one small window. And people were tweeting like RIP Roto World writers because all the cuts are going to be in one day. Those guys are going to work like 18 hour shifts. It's going to be crazy, man.
We're probably going to need two or three people on at the same time to get through all that. So that should be interesting. But hey, we'll keep people employed. So that's a good thing. For sure. Finally, we'll finish off here with a fantasy bold prediction.
Hang on one second. Pardon me one second. We did not mention Jordan Walker in the National League Cy Young race. I think I'm emotionally hedging here because I took him in my keeper league with my buddy Scott Gleason. I know Walker hasn't hit much at the end of spring training. He's going to be the NL favorite right now. What do you say? Carroll, too, of course. So we didn't mention Walker or Carroll, and I'm sure our listeners are like, hey, wait a minute. What about those guys? They're the right pick. What do you say about Walker and Carroll going into the season?
I think Carroll is the slight favorite over Walker for a reason, because he got a little bit of major league time last year. He looks the part. He can steal 50 bases this year. Like, I think there's reason to believe in that. But I just wanted to go when I'm picking a prop bet here, I don't necessarily want to do the one that's the safest. So not to say that I don't think that Carroll can win or Walker's going to be good or whatever. But I think when I'm doing a pick like this, I want to put like, hey, I'll put 10 down. If Vargas wins, I get 100. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of how I'm thinking about
it. Okay.
Yeah. And also, when we're talking division winners, and yeah, it's like chalk, like it's hard to like win money that way. Do one where you can pick all the division winners. You know what I mean? Put down five, pick the six division winners. If you hit that, maybe the chances aren't great, but you're only putting five down. You could actually win quite a bit of money that way. Another fun one that I'll throw out there, try to predict the pitchers will get 200 strikeouts this season. There's a prop for that as well. Pick a few and, you know, you only need to put a few dollars down. And that's another way, you know, maybe you won't get it, but hey, you only put five down. You could make a nice little profit there.
You can shape these things differently. If you don't want to bet on the team necessarily to win a division or win the World Series, bet they're over under on their win prop, you know, something like that. There's a lot of different ways to skin this cat. So our last thing is going to be players outside the top 200 in ADP.
Yes. So players outside the top 200 in ADP that we expect will finish the year as a top 100 fantasy player. So you can go first, Scott.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of surprise people because I'm going to ask you, dear listener, who is the deadest roster right now in fantasy, right? Is it the Washington Nationals? Is it the Pittsburgh Pirates? Is it the Detroit Tigers? I posed this question on Twitter, and the overwhelming winner was the Oakland A's. So, of course, my ADP winner is going to be a member of the Oakland A's. The guy you want to draft is Seth Brown. Last year, 23 home runs, 11 steals. 230 is not a great average, okay? But he was a top 160 player last year. He doesn't need to get that much better. If he just stays healthy, bats clean up. And look, it's a horrible lineup. The park needs to go. I don't know if Oakland can keep their team. It'll be sad for me if they leave. But all he needs to do is maybe gain like 15 or 20 batting average points. And, you know, as somebody who could probably gain from – he's a left-handed hitter, so he could maybe gain some points from the shift and all that stuff. I know it's not – and I say you want to draft into good offenses. That's an early-round pick strategy. That's why I picked Pete Alonso over Rafael Devers or something like that. In the late rounds, you have to accept what you can get, and it means you're drafting guys on the Pirates and the Tigers and the Nationals, Lane Thomas, sure, whatever. Seth Brown's underrated because his team stinks and because his batting average isn't that good. He was never a prospect. I get it. Qualifies at two different positions. He doesn't need to get that much better to break into the top 100, and there's nobody going to take his job away. And, you know, yeah, they'll let him run. What do they care? You know, they're going to win 55, 60 games, you know? Mm-hmm. I think he's ready for a 25-15 season. If he hits 250, he'll stick into the top 100.
My pick's Anthony Rendon, and I know it's been ugly since he's come over to the Angels. Appeared in just 47 games last year, 58 in 2021. Hip surgery, wrist surgery. Obviously hard to count on him staying on the field, but the most important factor here is he's healthy right now. He's had a good spring. He's in a great situation as well, hitting right behind the likes of Taylor Ward, Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani. I mean, that is prime real estate, which is, I'm stealing a term from you, Scott, as far as that's concerned. But hey, I mean, hitting behind those guys, I mean, that is money. If he could just stay in the lineup, you know, he could justify this price. And maybe it blows up in my face, but you're not paying for this. You're not paying for the potential. He's as down as he could be over the past couple of years. So yeah, I think if he just stays on the field, he can meet this criteria fairly comfortably at a shallow position to boot.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to see it. I remember 2019 where it was Vladimir Guerrero's rookie year, and he was going in some league, in a lot of leagues, ahead of Anthony Rendon. I said, this is crazy. We already know Anthony Rendon is great. We think Vladimir Guerrero is going to be great. And it just coincided with Rendon's best season. He was third in the MVP voting, hit 319, 34 home runs. He led the majors in RBIs with 126. He scored 117 runs. Since then, he was actually fairly healthy in the pandemic season. It's you see the 52 games, you think, oh, well, you got hurt. No, it was just that screwy pandemic season. Since then, all he's had is injuries, but he's only 33. And as you mentioned, maybe it isn't the deepest Angels lineup, but the top half of it, there's two world-class players, and this other guy, your Ward, as you mentioned, is going to get on base. I'd love to see it with Rendon. I mean, he was a star at Rice. He came in baseball with a pedigree, and for a long time, he was on probably a quasi Hall of Fame trajectory. It was probably like, well, who do you like, Anthony Rendon or Nolan Arenado? And that's turned into like, well, Nolan Arenado is the right answer, Anthony Rendon's the wrong answer. But I would love to see a bounce back season from him. I don't have any Rendon, so I'm not going to benefit from it if it happens. But just as a baseball fan, he's always been one of my favorite hitters. And it'd be nice to see something go right for the Angels for once. They feel like a star card across franchise in recent seasons. We all want to see Mike Trout. Mike Trout has three playoff games and one World Baseball Classic strikeout to his resume right now. I'd like to see some more Mike Trout in October, please. So a big part of that would be a healthy Anthony Rendon.
No doubt. And here we go, Scott. The next time we chat, we'll be off and running in this marathon we call the MLB season. Really look forward to having you along for the ride this season, Scott. And make sure you subscribe to Circling the Bases wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate and review if you like what you're hearing. Also, follow us on Twitter if you don't already. Scott is Scott_Pianowski. I'm at DJ Short. Take care. See you next time. Happy opening day.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well.
So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.